Welcome back to Following No One on Stormlight Podcast. We have newly returned from Dragon's Tale about a week ago, and we are here to talk about everything that we saw and experienced. Elliot, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. That was the nerdiest week of my life, and I loved every second of it. It was fantastic. We're full on like a week after getting back now, and I'm still catching up on sleep, but so worth it. Totally worth it.
Yeah, agreed. Paul and Alex, how are you?
We're doing great. Yeah, I can echo what Elliot said. I also want to call both of you out. Y'all might be extra tired because y'all left at like 1 a.m. after the convention ended the last day to drive 8 hours home.
Did happen.
They were home in time for the morning, which worked great. But Alex and I chose to sleep that night and then drive back the next day.
Yeah, but I'm also excited to be here. Paul's like, you know, you can come on and talk about it if you want. And I was like, I don't know if I have that much to say, but make sure you mention this and make sure you mention that. And then when you mention this, by the time I got to the third thing, I was like, if they'll have me, I'll just pop on over.
Wonderful to have you.
Yeah.
I just want to shout out Alex super fast, actually, because Alex was our Steris on this trip. We were like running around like chickens with our heads cut off, trying to get everything organized. And Alex was like, well, you know, I printed all those out, right? I have those right here for you. Oh, you want to see the schedule? I've got it right here. You know, it was fantastic having you along, Alex. You kept us all very organized. I'm not sure we would have made it without you.
Well, thank you. It's fun getting to support you guys and getting to, you know, tag along. And, you know, I enjoyed the perks of you guys being exhibitors too. And so it was just fun to get to support you guys and being likened to Steris, one of my all-time favorite Cosmere characters. Thank you very much.
Tons of fun. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I'd also like to echo that. Anytime that I was wondering what was coming up, I could turn to Alex and she knew exactly what was happening the next like 3 hours. And she could tell me exactly. So it's very nice.
I'm going to also throw in there, while I'm also extremely thankful for Alex, I want to point out the Steris connection and that the one thing that we tried to find while we were there was we tried to find a Steris pin from the Dragon Seal store, and they had tons of characters and not a Steris pin. They were sold out.
Yeah, they sold out, which like they had a little bucket and they had the little icon. And I was like, oh, that was actually really cute. So maybe just next year.
So if I don't know if it's restocked on Dragon Seal's website or anything. Yeah. If anyone knows about where to get a Steris pin, let me know so that we can get Alex. She's earned her Steris pin.
I have one somewhere around here. I don't know where it is.
It disappeared with all the rest of them, I'm sure.
So. I mean, I have a lot of them on my board. I was trying to look, but Steris is not on there.
Like I said, it's hard to find. Anyways.
A couple different things that we did at Dragon's Tale. We are going to start with the surprise that we didn't know about before showing up. Nobody knew about it. Dragon's Tale called this Story Deck. And I believe they had a patent on it. It was like super secret, and it was like a huge reveal at Dragonsteel. They came out with a card collection, like game experience for the convention. And without further ado, I'm going to throw it to Paul because Paul got way into this.
Yes, I did get super excited about this. I want to lay a little bit of the scene, like the actual scene when we figured out about this. So we're waiting in line to check in and get our admissions badges. And, you know, as we go up and get it, we get our badge. We get a little bag with a couple of just random other things. We get like these card packs and I don't even remember what else. This World Hopper passport, which was really neat. We'll talk about that. And just this slew of little gifts. It was really fun. So we get that. We're really tired. We've been driving all day. We head back to our Airbnb. And then once we get back, we're eating dinner. And Alex actually is like, I think I'm going to open these cards. I saw these and I kind of discounted. And I was like, oh, maybe some other company started a trading card game with Cosmere characters. And that's really neat. And I'd be happy to look at that. My backstory is I've actually had a big interest in collectible cards for quite some time. And have done a bit with it. So I was, you know, I was being like, oh, maybe we should keep these sealed. It might be a collector's item one day or just things like that. But what happens was Alex opens these and we realize they're not trading cards. It wasn't a game We were rather confused. It had a number. There were three different colors of cards, and they all had a number 1 through 54. Turns out these were three real stories that Brandon Sanderson wrote. He wrote each of them alongside a different member of his team. And they were, two of them were legitimate, like, Cosmere stories. One, which we've talked about the most, is called Else Caller. And it's kind of the story of Yasna. And you get to see from her perspective the moments on the ship in Words of Radiance. You get to see from her perspective from there. So we discovered this, and all at once it kind of clicked for us. We were like, okay, hold on. This is a story, and there's pieces of it. So then we all rush to open our card packs. We get them. We're starting to compile. Okay, there's three different stories. There's Else Caller. There's King Lopin, or Lopin King of Alethkar. Yeah, Lopin King of Alethkar. And then another one that was called
Chasm Friends
is what we've called. I think it has a different title, maybe, but that's what we've lovingly called it, Chasm Friends. And not to mention the story, but on the back of each card was a little snippet of art. So, as you collect these pieces, you're getting a full story written by Sanderson and multiple art pieces as you put these cards together. So, and we all rush to open our packs. We gather this all up. We make a spreadsheet of the cards we have and don't have, and we're ready to go to Dragonsteel and trade these cards with other people to try and collect this whole set of stories, which was a very well-protected secret. We went to a panel where they talked about it, and they said they did not tell anybody because what they wanted was for people to be confused, open these packs, not know what's going on, and have it click. And that is exactly the experience that we had, which was just masterfully done, in my opinion. I think it was such a special thing and such a really cool event to get to take part in at Dragonsteel.
And you should clarify, too, these stories are new Sanderson stories that have never been released before. And correct, the art is new art. Like, I don't know, is it six art pieces per story? Like, it was,
yes,
six.
Yes.
There's six. They were grouped six in sections of nine.
Right. Every nine cards created one art piece. So you've got six times three, 18 new, never before seen art pieces from the Cosmere. It was, when that hit me, that this was a release of some serious Sanderson content, that was when my brain kind of kicked into gear of, ooh, we need to collect these. We've got to do this.
Absolutely. And so we were off to the races. That first day was actually the day that we had our booth, which we'll talk about more in a minute. But we actually did nothing that first day at all. We did not trade a single card. We were worried about our booth and getting it all set up. The next day, though, Friday and Saturday, it was off to the races. We got it all filled out, and we were trying to get a second set. To add to that, we had these World Hopper passports, and you got stamps in for different events that you went to, and it was really fun, a really great way to get involved. For each page that you filled out, like if you went to the Roshar exhibit hall enough, you got enough stamps there, you could go to, they had the Silverlight Mercantile in the exhibitor hall, you could go, and if you had that page filled out, you got another card pack. So on that Friday and Saturday, we were all going to the events, filling up our books with stamps, and then we would get in line, traded in for a ton more packs. So we were getting the story filled out, but the real thing that people started chasing was, while there were these story cards, there were also other more rare things. There were foil versions of the cards. There were nonsense versions of the cards, which would have the same general premise, but totally ridiculous. You know, you would read about how Elokar was the greatest dancer who ever lived, and he danced his little heart out. You know, it was things like that. There were also cards which had the art of the heralds. You could find 1 through 9 of heralds.
Allegedly.
Yes. Allegedly, there was 1 through 9. We realized that the first night as we opened, we got Herald 3 out of 9, Chanarach, and we got Herald 2 out of 9, Nail. And so we were like, okay, we need to try to keep our eye out and get these Heralds, which we got very close, largely from opening packs, but there was a bit of contention at the conference, especially on the last day. Everyone was trying to finish their sets, collect all 9 Heralds. I guess the latter half or latter third of the cards, I somehow did not make it to the convention. There was a lot of speculation on where and how they did not make it. In this panel where they talked about it, Brandon Sanderson specifically said, we wanted to have a fun card trading system, but not have any cards be too rare where we create an economic bubble, collector's bubble, which they did a great job of. It seemed everyone usually had stuff, except they were missing the distributions, larger quantity distributions of Heralds 7, 8, and 9, and some of the later cards in the story. They existed, they were there, but they were scarce. So I'm sure anyone who was there got sick and tired of hearing everybody going around asking, do you have Heralds 7, 8, and 9? I will trade you anything for it. That's what we did.
It became kind of a running joke that you just walk past people. Do you have Herald 7? Do you have Herald 8? Like, everybody knew nobody had them, but it was kind of just a joke of you asked everybody.
Exactly. We were actually fortunate enough to open up in a pack. Actually, Alex was the one with the magic touch. Not only did she open a pack with Herald 9 in it, which was Ishar, she also opened another pack, or maybe two, with foil Herald cards, which was the ultimate rarity you could get. So we have a foil Yezrian and a foil Chanarach, which is really cool. So Trevor has the collection. If anyone out there listening has a Herald 7 or 8, by the way, that you'd be willing to trade with us, let us know, because that's the only thing we ended up missing out on. Last point I want to make, because there's a lot of information, which is really neat. One other thing, I mentioned those nonsense cards. Those also had alternative arts. So the Chasm Friends story was really popular because it was a really cute... It was the only one that was specified to be non-canonical. It was not accurate, but it was a really cute art of really friendly, happy-looking cartoon Chasm Fiends. But the alternative art, which we did manage to collect, was, instead of these cute Chasm Fiends, more realistic, terrifying looking Chasm Fiends, which I thought was really funny. And overall, it was great. It was a really neat convention game. It was really spectacular. And we kind of grouped together to complete it. And Trevor has the book on his shelf. Maybe at some point he'll make a little video of him flipping through it. But it's really cool how you can have the stories and the art on these collectible cards. Was really a special experience.
Something I want to highlight is just how much work Dragonsteel must have thrown into this without like any like applaud of beforehand. Like, nobody knew it was coming, and there was this huge surprise. And then there were also alternative versions of the same story with the nonsense cards. And so the amount of time and iterations that this must have gone through to get this in our hands by the beginning of Dragonsteel, I can forgive them for having missing Herald 7 and 8. Like, it was really good. I think it was on Saturday, Dan Wells was on the panel for the fan holder meeting, which I'll talk about more later. But to start that panel, he said that everybody was like sitting down, they started the panel, and Dan Wells starts it with, okay, does anybody have a Herald 9? I really need a Herald 9. I am willing to give you an early copy of Isles of Emberdark in trade for your Herald 9. I want a Herald 9. It was really funny. And so we had a lot of, like, there were a lot of people in the auditorium like pulling theirs out and like waving it at him. It was a good moment. It was funny.
It was. It was absolutely a hilarious and super fun experience. Something that I'll definitely remember for a long time. It was getting a bit hectic with the Herald shortages going around. Once people realized nobody had Herald 7, 8, and 9, no one would trade Herald 7, 8, or 9 if you had it.
The economy swing on Friday was actually really funny. That once once everybody realized the value of certain cards, the value between Thursday and Saturday was actually really funny of how the economy swapped.
The people who I spoke with who finished their collection finished it on Thursday before people knew Heralds 7, 8, and 9 were hard to get.
And that just makes me so sad that there was supposedly, with the rumor going around, a those cards missing, you know, also some of the story cards like Lopin 49, if anybody has that one. Because you're hearing, I think Paul's going to talk about this later, about the one of the panels of just explaining the intent behind the story deck. Like, yes, there's intent behind it of releasing new art and releasing new stories and having this cool medium to do that. But he was talking about making it a specific thing for the convention where you actually sit and talk to people and you interact with people and you interact more in some of the different events going on at the actual convention. And I think that the... with that intent behind it, seeing that and like actually seeing that come to fruition, like it was so fun because we would start trading cards and people would just look at us and be like, thank you so much. We finished our story. Can we take a selfie? And it's like, I never would have gotten to talk to that person. And so that I am sad about the whole point of it being not super stressful. Then it became super stressful until people realized, oh, it's just not there. But I really feel like at some point, Brandon had to just look out over the crowd of thousands of people all around their decks. And he's just going, what have I done? Because he knew his audience and it was, everybody loved it.
There were some scenes that were pretty incredible. You'd walk around a corner and what would normally be like just an empty hallway in any other convention with people just like coming and going. There's literally 200 people like spreading their cards out on the floor and like trying to keep track of what they've got. And just like, as far as the eye can see, you've just got people like sorting through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cards and like people starting community piles on public tables and like trading left and right and trying to help other people find other cards. It was an experience I don't think I've ever had anything like. It was a lot of fun, a little intense at times, but a lot of fun.
It was. As people realized that some of the later cards and sets were more difficult to come by, it got a little more intense. And that is unfortunate because that wasn't the vision. But one last thing I wanted to say about it is, as the convention closed, we kind of grabbed cards that people were no longer holding on to. People had lots of duplicates. We had lots of duplicates, things like that. So if we've been running this, I don't know what to call it. Not a promotion, a unique opportunity where for,
I'm sorry,
I didn't rehearse this part. Yeah, exactly. If you'd like to sign your life away. No, I'm kidding. We have a decent pile of extra cards, not like an infinite pile, but we have a decent pile of these cards, not 1 through 54, but these different sets of 9 that have the artwork together. If you're one of our patrons, or if you become one of our patrons and want to sign up, we are just sending those. It doesn't matter how long you've been with us or what tier, anything like that. We're sending those cards out. So if you want any, feel free to do that. I think the form is in our Discord. But if you're not in our Discord, feel free to, I don't know, comment or join our Discord, or we'll find a way to try to get you some cards. So it's a really neat experience. So if that's something that interests you at all, that's something we're excited to do.
If you're a patron and you can't find the link, email me, email the following note on at Gmail, and I'll get you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's Story Deck. I want to talk about our booth. We set up a booth for Thursday only for the podcast. And again, shout out to Alex for helping us set up that booth. And we had my friend Tim there as well, and Tim's dad, and Elliot and I's other brother, Spencer. They all helped us carry a whole bunch of stuff to the booth and back and forth. And there was just a whole bunch of odds and ends that we needed to carry to the booth. So shout out to you guys for helping us set that up. But I want to throw this to Elliot, because before we even get to the convention, Elliot poured hours and hours, I wonder how many hours, into making sure every single cable was correct. And he had it taped out like 8-foot by 6-foot square in his living room. His twin boys were like helping him measure out stuff and chairs and tables and stuff. So I'm going to throw this to Elliot. How long did it take you to polish off that booth before we even got in the car to go to Salt Lake City?
Well, see, that question's a little hard to answer because I did that multiple times. So we did full mock-ups of the booth in my living room where we literally, taped out the 6-foot by 8-foot plot that we had. I had my poor wife and boys like dry run it with me where I would sit them in certain spaces like, okay, this is going to be Trevor here and Paul's going to be here and I'm going to be standing here. And okay, you know, you guys, okay, walk by like you're going to be the passersby. We had to test it all out. I knew we needed to do that because we had a very small space. We came up with the idea of recording content, recording some chats with you guys in our booth. So we weren't actually selling anything like most of the booths around us. We had some freebies to hand out, but our main intent was to chat, was to talk with you guys and get your thoughts on Dragonsteel and the convention and Wind and Truth. We got so many hot takes and predictions that were so awesome. So the challenge was, how do you set up a podcast studio in a 6-foot by 8-foot convention exhibitor booth? And so that required a lot of
four different people to sit in at the same time.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. We need like 4 to 6 people. And some people coming in here have like sharp blades that are 8-foot long, you know, swords. Like you got to accommodate that as well. And so we needed some good signage. It took a little bit of planning, but we got it figured out. And a bunch of you guys stopped by and it was so fun to talk to you guys.
It was a blast. And I want to also shout out Elliot, because not only did our booth fit, it was really good looking, and he even managed to have a bookshelf that we fit in there with our limited space on the edge of the table. We kind of all chipped in. The day before we traveled there, we did a joking like book draft where we would draft a book that we brought to add to the bookshelf. We wanted to have books up there that, of course, we've covered on the podcast and stuff that we've mentioned or are just important to us. So we of course had. Trevor brought his fancy leather-bound Words of Radiance. We had a slew of books. We had some Tolkien. We had all sorts of stuff. But it was really fun. And I want to say, of course, thank you to everybody who came by. It was really cool that we got to meet some people who knew our names. Frankly, I had never experienced that before, and it was really unique and a really fun experience. I also wanted to say a thank you to Jess and Brett. They came up and they brought me a mug, and it was very sweet of them. I'm going to show it now. It will be on an actual episode, but I of course wanted to say thank you. They knew that I was a fan of The Office, so they brought me a Cornell mug, which was very thoughtful and sweet, and I was absolutely not expecting that. And we were just kind of blown away with the success and just how fun it was. It was truly just a blast. I kept, some people knew us, but most did not. So I was out there trying to wrangle people, convince them to come talk to us. I swear we're fun. It'll be great. And then we all got to interview and just chat with people. It was an absolute blast. I'm glad we did that setup.
Well, while we're shouting out a few folks, I should also shout out some of our other Cosmere podcasts that actually swung by. We had Data from the Sander Lanch come by. They've been kind of our sister podcast for a long time. They started right around the same time we did, and we've been jumping through all the Cosmere books at various different times. So it was great to see Data there and chat with him for a bit, and then made some new connections with Tyler and Brooke over at Cosmere Conversations. They were on a couple panels as well and did a great job, but they swung by and chatted with us. They've been doing this podcast thing for much longer than we have, so they've been blazing the trail, and we're following their footsteps. So they've got some fun stuff over there at Cosmere Conversations.
Yeah. I want to shout out one young guy. His name was Isaac. He just really sat in my brain as he left. He was so happy and smiley to be there. He said that he got his ticket like last minute because one of his friends couldn't make it or something, and then just drove like 9 hours just to get to Salt Lake City on like last minute, just on a whim, showed up Thursday morning, and then came and talked to us at our booth on 2 hours of sleep or whatever he had. He was awesome as well. The interviews that we did I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to be doing with that or with those, but they'll be coming out in some format, either on our YouTube or also on our podcast feed. So keep an eye out for those over the next month or so. So, and also I need to say that some of the audio is worse than others on those recordings. So if your interview has a poor audio on it, I really do apologize. I will do my best to salvage whatever I can out of it. But some of them are great. Some of them sound great, but then some of them didn't turn out as well. So
that was definitely our big question going in, is how do we get a mic set up to work with no outlets that we had? It was all battery pack powered, no outlets, and an exhibitor hall full of people walking, talking. You know, there were sword fights going on. Like, there was a lot of commotion, and so we were trying to figure out how to do that. So yes, our apologies if it doesn't always work out right. We stress tested as much as we could, but you know, we perhaps had limited resources and options.
All right. For the reason the convention was hosted, Wind and Truth by Brandon Sanderson. Each of us have our copies now after the convention. And I'm going to throw this to Elliot. How many signatures did you get in that book, Elliot?
Oh, man. So I introed at the beginning, this was the nerdiest week of my life. And it's not an exaggeration. I have never been one to, like, you know, go sit in line for hours or to track down my favorite author or artist to get their signature in my stuff. But I realized as I was walking around the convention, I'm carrying around with me Wind of Truth. And it's already been pre-signed by Brandon. So I don't have to track down him. I did not get drawn for one of the Lightning signings. So that was good too. It came pre-signed for Brandon. But there are some fantastic artists that have contributed to this book. There's, if you look on like the credits page, there's like 12 different artists that contributed to this book with some really cool stuff. And most of them are there at Dragon Steel Nexus. So as I'm walking around, I'm thinking, wait a second, I can get all these people to sign my first edition Wind and Truth. So I did. And I managed to track down 7 of them. I got 7 signatures in my Wind and Truth from various artists, everyone from Isaac Stewart and Ben McSweeney that have been doing art and stuff for Brandon for a long time, to I think some of my favorites are the end papers. So the heralds that are on your end papers are done by Donato Giancola and how many guys, is it Miranda Meeks is her name?
Miranda Meeks, yep.
Yeah.
On the back end, some really cool art of the heralds, and I got their signatures on my Wind and Truth. So I am now incredibly proud of my Wind and Truth, although up until now, to this point on the podcast, I've done something I've never done with books before. I've taken notes in my books that we've read. I've bought like cheap copies, you know, mass market paperbacks of Way of Kings and Words of Radius, and I've written in them as we've gone. I can't do that. I can't do that anymore now with my there's no way I can vandalize my now super signed copy of Wind and Truth. So yeah, my note-taking is going to get a little more challenging here, but I'm going to make it work.
Sounds good. All right. At the convention, there were several different panels. Real quick, 2 minutes each. What was your favorite panel and why? I'm going to go ahead and go first. So last year at Dragon Steel, they started a new panel called what they call a fanholder meeting. It's their version of a stockholder meeting, but they don't have any stocks. They're not a publicly traded company, so they call it a fanholder meeting of, this is what we're doing. You guys don't have any say in it, but this is what we're doing anyway. So they have all their spreadsheets of, you know, number of books sold for the year and a little bit of teaser on their Dragon Steel Plaza fair grounds that they're trying to make by like 2028 or whatever. All that's really cool. Something that actually stood out to me on that panel is they, in their numbers, they said that they sold more secret projects in 2024 than they did in 2023, which I thought was wild, because the Kickstarter that, you know, has become famous at this point of, you know, $23 million backed or whatever it ended up, I don't remember what it ended up being, but there were like, you know, so many different copies sold of all the secret projects. They all shipped that year. They did a great job. But then the next year, they beat those numbers in just like normal bookshelf sales. I was like, that's crazy. And then they also highlighted that The Final Empire, Mistborn, The Final Empire, hit the bestseller list for the first time ever, like 2 weeks ago or something like that. So I thought that was really cool in their number crunch meeting that they had.
So my favorite panel was the Cosmere Reading Order. It was one of the more passionate panels of all of the panelists being very passionate in particular about what is the Reading Order. And I have, I know this is something that you guys have talked about. Like, we talked about it with Tress. And where I honestly came out of that from was just really sane, and this may be really off base, but I just wonder if there maybe isn't a quote perfect reading order, just because I think, like, I know for me, I could start with Way of Kings. I have a really good friend who I said, you're going to start with the Way of Kings. And she's now, and I told her that over the summer, and she's now reading Wind and Truth. For my sister, I should have started her on Warbreaker instead of Mistborn. And I know, like, one of my best friends, I know that she would be better for Tress. And I think that those are just, I think the most important thing is what I took away is knowing the person that you're recommending the Cosmere to, and then letting those, and then aligning with those points of entry, just because there are so many different types of books for each people. But it was really funny to hear just how people were like, no, this is the right order, and if you don't do it this way, you're wrong. And other people were like, but it's all about the experience. And it was incredible to watch. But you guys just heard my stance on it now. But that was my favorite panel.
That was definitely a one with a lot of strong feelings and opinions. Yes. That was a fun one. I think my favorite panel.
I was just going to weigh in super fast there, Paul, before you share about yours. I think the hottest take I heard coming out of that Cosmere Reading Order panel was one of the panelists claimed that they're trying to make a claim of basically you can start anywhere. They're like, you can start anywhere, pick up any book, it's fine. And then the other panelist is like, no, that's absurd. You cannot pick up Sunlit Man as your first Cosmere book. And the first panelist goes, actually, you can. And it's like, I don't know if I go that far.
Yeah. For sure.
Someone referenced, I think that person referenced, like, they had a work as, I don't know.
It was their dad.
Their father, I guess. Yeah.
They had an example.
Sunlit Man, because he saw the cover art, thought it looked neat, went home, read it all, thought it was a great book. It was like, what else should I read by this author? You know, which is crazy, you know. But I guess if you don't have any other experience with the Cosmere, apparently our concerns when we read it were, is it all going to make sense? And the guy said he had no problem. So he said it made sense and liked the story. So there you go. It's a bit subjective, I suppose. But yeah, I think that's a great point of it most largely being based off of the reader, who the reader is and what they like. You know, that guy saw the art of Sunlit Man and knew it'd be something that he would enjoy. So there you have it. For me, I think my favorite panel, I would say the story deck discussion was really fascinating. One thing I want to, we talked about that in depth, but one thing I want to add, which was kind of funny, the Dragonsteel employee, I don't remember her name, but the lady who was in charge of working with all the artists to get this art done, it was a bit complicated, her role, because she was working with these artists to have the art of these scenes made, but she could not tell them what the project was. She handed them a grid, essentially, of like a nine slot grid, and said, you need to put this over your art and make sure nothing too important is on the lines. Like, it's gonna be for unknown reasons. She could not specify, and they probably, she said, they were awfully confused and maybe a bit upset with her that she kept editing and tweaking their art to scooch it around these lines, and they had no idea, no reference. Like we mentioned, they worked very hard to keep it a secret from everyone, not just like to the general public. Like, a lot of the Dragonsteel people didn't know this would be happening. Like, it was a huge secret. And that panel was really fun, hearing about their ideas for it, seeing the concept art. I absolutely loved it. I also wanted to mention there was a panel called Nerds of the Future, I believe it was called. And that was really neat. They had a couple different content creators, like popular content creators. Personally, I was biased towards my favorite as a big Tolkien fan. If y'all, if any of our listeners know Matt from Nerd of the Rings, he covers a lot of, does a lot of Tolkien video essays.
We got a selfie with him.
Fantastic. We got to meet him. It was like, it was meeting my hero, and he was awesome. He was so much fun to talk to him. He was very excited to talk about all things Tolkien and Sanderson. He was, it was just a blast, but that was a really fun one. And honestly, one that I felt was underattended. It was really neat to hear from the different creators, and it was in the big hall, and it was awesome. Yeah, that was my favorite.
That Nerds of the Future panel was definitely my second favorite. That one was so cool. Nerd of the Rings, getting to meet him was amazing. Super cool to chat with Matt, who I've watched so many hours of his videos.
And Nerdforge. I learned about, I knew of Nerdforge beforehand, yes, but actually like getting to hear them and then actually getting into some of their content, they're awesome.
I agree. I
was going to shout out them as well. I just recently the other day shared a link to their latest video that they teased at that panel. If you don't know, Nerdforge does like super cool, like artsy, craftsy kind of stuff, like to the most epic scale that you could possibly imagine. What they did just recently was they handcrafted these giant leather-bound tomes of the entire Stormlight archive and presented them to Brandon at the convention. Go look them up right now, Nerdforge. Go watch their video. I am so incredibly jealous of those books. They are the most incredible books I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, my actual favorite panel beats that one just by a smidge, and that's because, if you guys have listened to us for any amount of time, you know this about me now. I'm kind of a sciencey guy, engineering, physics, bring it all my way. They had a whole panel of, I think it was titled Pushing Cosmere Physics. And they had a bunch of sciencey, nerdy folks up there on the front of the room. And they just kind of started lobbing some scenarios at them of different magic system combinations or various questions of how would this physics work on this planet with this kind of magic going on. And I just had a ton of fun with that. We were sitting on the side almost kind of heckling them and maybe agreeing with some of their answers and disagreeing with some of those, but just diving into the science behind some of what's happening in some of our favorite fantasy stories is always just a blast for me. So just that was a very fun way to end the convention. That was the very last panel at the entire convention, and that was just a fun way to close it out.
Yeah, if you didn't mention it, I was going to. It was the very last panel. It started at like 9 p.m. on Saturday. So everybody's like dead tired. We're all kind of loopy, and they're just talking like a whole bunch of crazy science stuff. Like, what if Kaladin gained 100 pounds and then lashed himself? Would he go faster? You know, like there's a whole bunch of crazy stuff. And, you know, everybody was just having a good time with it. The convention was over at that point. Paul and Alex did not go to that because they were somewhere else.
Okay, so we were in line for the World Hopper Ball, which if you have not heard of the World Hopper Ball, it was a new thing that they started this year. They had 5 sessions of it, but essentially it was a canonical live event telling of like an actual Cosmere event. The premise of this year was it was Shallan and Adolin's wedding. They had actors playing the parts. It was written by Brandon Sanderson, and it was the canonical event of their wedding. It was a really unique experience and idea. While we were waiting in line, we had a pre-ball interview. Like I said, Elliot and Trevor got to go to that last panel. We waited in line for, say, almost 2.5 hours to get in early. It was quite a deal. We dressed up. It was a big deal. I believe the plan was to roll that now, and then we will talk about it more afterwards. I'm going to let Alex intro the setting of the World Hopper Ball.
Last night of Dragonsteel, World Hopper Ball. How are we feeling?
Excited. We got in line like 2.5 hours early, so we can go super enjoy this. Honestly, I have no idea what to expect. We've heard maybe little bitty hints of what happens, but honestly, no idea. We're definitely in for a surprise, so
excited.
Hopes are high.
I've heard there's snacks. Alex, can you try the... I've heard there's chowder. Can you try the chowder for me?
I promise I will try everything, but I won't promise to finish it. I'm kind of a picky eater, but I will try.
That's fine.
Yeah. I'll try it.
That's fine. Yeah, just try everything. Tell me what was best, if you will. So I've heard there's a canon scene that's going to be acted out for you guys. We need a recap of how that's going to happen. So don't tell us right after. We'll catch Paul. Maybe Alex, you can join on the podcast. You can give us a recap maybe next week sometime. So keep an eye out for that. There's a paid wit actor. I heard he's really funny. So what's your best joke for him?
Best joke? Am I supposed to tell?
You're telling him a joke. What do you got? Or a good Wayne quote.
Oh, man. See, now I feel unprepared. See, I was planning to go up and just be absolute fodder for him to just make fun of and roast. I don't have a joke prepared.
Should I come
up with one? Do you have one?
So. I don't have one. I was just going to go up and be like, take your best shot and just let his...
Like, just roast me? Yeah. Go?
Just roast me. Go for it. That'd be funny.
So, I could say, if Hoyt is truly... full Cosmere knowledge, right? On Alex and I's first date, I showed her a presentation about Tolkien's Middle Earth.
You are a really big nerd.
I am. And that was not a requirement, but that was one of the things that we did at the end of our date. I gave her a brief history on Middle Earth. So should I tell Hoyd that I gave my now wife a presentation about slow Swift? Would he get it?
I would be really surprised if their hired actor from Salt Lake City would know who Slow Swift is, but you could try it.
I might try, but I don't think it'll go well. I think I'll just get roasted.
I mean, you might want to go with something more surface like Adolin or, you know, Tress.
Realistically, that's not going to work, and I'm not actually going to do it, but we'll see. I will say, on the serious note, I think we're all very excited. Everyone in the line is very excited to, quote, be a part of, like, this experience of, like, a canon event being like acted out. I've never really heard of anything like that, so I think it's kind of neat.
Just real quick, you guys are dressed up as
a Mistborn from the Roughs,
a fancy Mistborn from Era 2, but from the city that I forgot the name of, and now I'm a terrible
Elendil.
Oh, dang it. Now I feel silly.
Or New Saren.
No, Elendil.
New Saren's the one with the cool waterfalls.
I'm a
And they're like the fashion geeks.
Then there. I'll take it from there.
There you go.
But still with a safe hand glove to be respectful.
Say, well, of course. Yeah.
To the bride and groom. Yeah.
Of course.
Naturally. I mean, I'm not going to go and disrespect them.
You go to a Rosharan wedding. You dress Rosharan, the Lethi.
Yeah. You know, it's adapting the custom. It's being a good world hopper.
I'm wearing boots.
I'm not.
But I'm not giving them to Shallan.
I've heard that they're hard to walk in.
They're half a size too small, so really, they're okay, but they're a little, they're just like mildly irritating, but not bad.
Okay, so again, you're standing here for two some odd hours, and everybody stood in line. Like, we were early, but the line went all the way. And so even when you're leaving the convention on the previous 2 days, you're walking past this line, and it was so phenomenal to see people's response to this. I mean, they were in line, they were about to go in, they were so excited, and they were dressed in really fun, really creative, really cool ways of being world hoppers. I mean, you saw everything from phenomenal cosplay to, you know, people's own interpretation of what a world would dress like, from Mistborn to Warbreaker to obviously Roshar. And my goodness. Okay, so let me just set the scene. So you've been sitting there for 2 hours and you're finally ready to go in, and you start walking down, and you end up going, I believe, up two or three escalators, and they are tall escalators. And to be honest,
I think it was three.
It might have been three.
I think it was up three.
No, it was two.
Two escalators. But we were up, you know, went up at least, yeah, two stories.
But they were like steep escalators. Like, yeah. You, I didn't know this room up here existed. I still don't think this room existed. I think they conjured it out of nothing.
It was in Shade, yeah.
Yeah. So what was, you know, when Paul and I were talking about it, we were like, okay, we're excited to go. It's going to be cool. Like it's going to be neat. I think that's kind of what we were like, neat was going to be the word that we were going to use. And so when I got to the top of this escalator and I'm walking through an oath gate with the two Spren on each side, and then you walk through Shadesmar, where it's like a tunnel, it's all black, and there's glowing things and beads all around you, and you're completely immersed, and then you walk through to a room that is decked out with draping all over the side, so you can't see an actual wall, it's all draped, it's like you walked into a tent, there are drapery from the ceiling, there's a dance floor that's a massive dance floor in the middle, and the lights were, you know, like the actual gemstones, and they're playing, this is something that I noticed, and I had to tell Paul, but they were playing music that was, it's instrumental music of pop songs, and so it's very Bridgerton, it's very, like, grand ball, very fantastical, and so it was, okay, so I have very little, mind you, very little experience in planning events, but I have planned events for organizations or have attended events like business events. This would be my dream event to plan. And the execution, and just you can tell that it was a passionate people doing a project that they had been working on for, it had to be over a year. Like this had to be at least 2 years in the making because of the attention to detail in as from everything as small to the invitation, all the way to the decor, the orchestration of events. I mean, you walk in and Witt absolutely made fun of my outfit. I was a little offended, but I guess that's his job. But he's making fun of everybody as you're walking in. And then you walk in and they hand you, or you go in and you're able to get these goblets. Thankfully, we didn't have to carry it around. They gave us a clean one, but you essentially got this goblet because it's very heavy, filled with different drinks that were, different colors.
They had the different wines.
Yeah, like the you different wines. The Alepi, it wasn't wine though.
Violet, yeah, orange. Nice. You know, They had the ones, and they weren't actual. It wasn't actual wine. It was like different fruit juices. You could get alcohol added additionally, but yeah, they had that. They had Horneater White, which was just Tito's vodka, yeah. and such. Which was funny. So that was really neat. They also had like a menu, and you had, what was it?
Chowder.
Yes, they did. I have
rock stew.
I have the pictures of the menu. They had, you know, the title for the wine menu was, is it supposed to be Yez's Duty?
Yez's Duty. That's a bar that they go to in like Rhythm of War or something.
Yes, Yez's Duty. And you had pink, orange, sapphire, my picture closed, what is happening, sapphire and violet wine. They also had emerald wine. I don't think that's canonical. There was
a picture I'm supposed to be looking at.
No, I didn't upload this, but I'm happy to upload this. Then they had Horneater Lager, Horneater White, and Losbo Shiki, which I did not recognize, but
okay,
they're just themed drinks. They also had a themed dinner menu, of course. By dinner, it was more small bites, more snacks, but it was nice, and it was really neat how they had the facility. I did post pictures of the goblet we got, which will show up a lot better than this actually did here. But it was very beautiful. Like, the scenery was very beautiful. It was all on brand. Before you go in, they hand you a little pouch with two spheres, and those are your included drink tokens for the evening, and things like that. So it was really neat. But then, you know, you go in, people are starting to mix and mingle. We wanted to go in first. That's why we waited for 2 hours, so that we would get to see the room more so. If y'all want to, I posted some pictures in the Discord with spoiler marks. You're welcome to go ahead and click on those. They had a table on either side, like a wedding for the bride and for the groom. And they had beautiful art pieces of Adolin and of Shallan, the portrait headshots. And then of like their wedding photo, the canonical wedding photo. They then had, the actual event. They Hoyd was there. They had an actor for Hoyd, and he was roasting people as they come in, making fun of them, poking fun. He was really clever, really funny. And he they announced people. They welcomed out Dalinar and Navani. They welcomed out Jasnah. Kaladin was in attendance. And then, of course, the bride and groom, Shallan and Adolin. I have a quick video clip to show you all. The different characters kind of gave their speeches, their talks for toasts. The bride and groom, their toasts for the bride and groom. And I just saved y'all one. They were all neat. Dalinar, in typical Dalinar fashion, wasn't seeming to be... him and Kaladin didn't have much to say.
Oh, no. I have stuff to say about Kaladin's, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to Kaladin's stuff at the later on. But Dalinar had very kind, nice words about his son and onward. But Hoid really took the ball and ran with it, and I wanted to show y'all that clip. Okay, so... I took videos as best as I could from my phone. So my apologies. You'll hear background noises. People loved toasting each other with their big goblets and all sorts of background noise. But this was Hoid's speech, and so I felt it was a pretty good representation of the event to show y'all. So feel free to press play here.
Dalinar certainly tried his best, did he not? Now, on to the most important part of the night. Me. The underlying truth of marriage is madness. Mm-hmm. Oaths, vows, promises. You swear them, though you are bound to break them. Not shatter them completely, no, but you will be forced to acknowledge the fractures, the tiny ones between you and yourself, the hidden chasms, and thus the mad question. How will you put together something bound to fail again and again? Now, I don't mean to be dour, but look at me, I'm rife with madness, as you all well know, and I'm doing splendidly. So of course I promise torment to the young and the blissful. Isn't it obvious that a vow is bound to go done without the storm? You will falter. You will break. You will empty. We all do. But you mustn't try to right yourselves alone. Reinforce one another, and, like an alloy unified by the Almighty, you will reforge yourselves, and eventually, two will be one. Certain destruction becomes harmony. Believe me, it's happened before. Marriage. Marriage is a living story that will outlast you and maybe even me. When I look around this room, I see generally not too ugly faces of those who will tell your story. From now until the end. The girl who looked up, and the boy who was mad enough to join her. That's the story I could look forward to telling. Mad enough to make it interesting.
Wow, that was really good.
That was really good. That was equal parts wit, like roast you, and like therapy session kind of stuff mixed in there.
We did get that more sincere Hoid that we've talked about lately, which was really neat, and honestly really really sincere to have that at the wedding, right? Mm. Which was really, really neat.
And it was cool. Can I talk about Kaladin's? Okay, so it was really cool because they, you know, everybody did their toast, okay? And so the two people who hadn't gone yet were Kaladin and Navani. And so Kaladin's comes up And, you know, they make a whole big deal about it of like, oh, bridge boy, you got to show some emotion, come and give a nice toast or whatever. And he gives like a really succinct toast. And then he's like, I think, I don't know if he said these exact words, but it was like, too bad bridge four isn't here. And then four people dressed, or no, it might've been six, dressed in bridge four uniforms, comes out and in on the dance floor performs an entire spear routine. And wow, so you're just, nice. She's like awesome thing. And you're just like, this can't get in. This is so, we're watching bridge four do spear stances. But then I'm like, it can't get any better. And then I watched people kind of kept shooing. They kind of kept pushing people a little more off to the sides. I'm like, oh, the spears, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Pushing off to the sides. And then Navani comes up and she's like, la, 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 wisdom. This is awesome. I have invited the honor spren to come and perform for you. And I said, you did what now? And they had three acrobats come in and do, dressed in all blue, and two, I don't know if I'm 100% wrong, right on this, but I think it was a Marcus Warner song, which if you know Marcus Warner, he's a phenomenal instrumentalist who does very epic music. And they're doing like the
tapestry.
The tapestry, you know, like the long tapestry things that they like spin.
Cloth, like it's a big curtain that they're like, climbing up and flipping
aerobatics up. Yeah,
yes,
and they did that as like a as part of the like that was the honor spren performing, and I was like, say what?
That one was really cool. Say that one was impressive. I have videos I can show y'all as well, but that one we were a bit it was kind of broken up into two sections. We had this where I sent you the Hoid video. We were luckily right at the front. Mm-hmm. Then they break off. Everyone dances. Everyone's going around. We got to take a picture with Navani, Dalinar, and Jasna, or maybe and which was really fun. And then they go back and they have this other part where they bring up the honor spren and Jasna speaks and things like that. But we were kind of stuck at the back, so our videos aren't that good of that. I'm sure on social media you can find great videos. Look up the honor spren. But it was really neat. It was quite the feats of strength. I want to send one. I have one other very short clip for y'all, which I'm sending now. And wait a second before you open it. So
yes, hold on.
So this is.
Wait, do you want to do the? Yeah, you're right.
Well, I'll do this, and then I'm gonna end on the last big reveal. So as I mentioned, this whole thing is a canonical event.
This is right? canon.
This is canon 100% event.
100% canon.
Canon in the series. And so as they kind of ended, you know, it's a party. It's a wedding. Everyone's celebrating. So the crew comes out to dance with us. So I wanted to share the video with y'all of what we canonically got to experience.
Well, first off, I think it's worth noting that the first thing they come to the dance floor is, I don't know if you guys have heard the sound on Instagram, where it's to a beat, and it's this like, it's the a reader going, Zeth, son Valano, truthless of Shinovar. And it's like, that's what they, that is their call to dance. But then this happens.
This is a bit after that.
Nice.
So canonically, we if you couldn't tell, the whole crew, Dalinar, Kaladin, Hoid, Adolin, Shallan, Jasna, they all danced to Mr. Brightside in the middle of the dance floor, and we got to be there to canonically dance with the Stormlight Archive cast to Mr. Brightside. And honestly, they had a fantastic playlist. They welcomed to the Black Parade. They did a lot of fun music, and they were dancing like crazy. They were dancing with everybody. Like it was really interesting. And that was the joke we wanted to share, that canonically we have danced with Dalinar Colin to Mr. Brightside.
Wonderful.
And so the last thing that I will say, and then I'm going to let him finish with the big thing, but the last thing that I just wanted to say about this is, I'm the type of person who wants to tell people when they did the most fantastic job ever, and I wanted to hunt down every person that I could think of or see that had a hand in that, because it was incredibly thought out and incredibly well executed. And if anybody ever hears, just like, it was phenomenal, absolutely well done. I am blown away by how incredible it was. So, but also do this.
Yeah. So there was one other notable thing, which was something. So I had a video for this, not myself. I found a video on social media which showed this better because we ourselves did not actually see what was happening. So there was a bit of a reveal earlier on while Hoid was speaking. He makes a comment. He starts yelling at somebody in the crowd, interrupts his speech, starts yelling at somebody in the crowd, says, "You're not supposed to be here." This is why I wish I had the video, because it had his direct quotes. I'm paraphrasing. The videos were taken down from social media, for the record, so I actually cannot share them with you. He says, "You're not supposed to be here. You need to leave." And then he runs off stage. Hoid runs off stage. We did not see anything. This was when we were kind of at the back. We didn't actually see what was happening. But say 5-10 minutes before this, someone starts wandering around through the World Hopper Ball area. And this is someone that I did not see, but there was a good video out there of someone following this person around. And it was a woman there, which many would recognize, with red hair, who Hoid says, "You're not supposed to be here." He says, "You've had your time to reconcile, and you have not done so. You need to leave." He leads this woman out. You can look at this woman and the art piece of the Harold Chanarach right next to each other. It is identical. She is dressed up identically as Chanarach. Hoid says, "You're not supposed to be here. You need to leave," and escorts her, like physically grabs her and escorts her out of the premises.
He also says that you should go back to Braze.
Yes.
Like they have the words on, like, "You should go back to Braze. You've had your chance to reconcile." And she's like, "I need to see her," and gets escorted out.
Fascinating.
Wow.
So that is wild. The thing that, like I said, I did not know. Well, I went to the World Hopper Ball. I did not know that until we were driving home and Alex found this on social media and sent it to me. So I'm following her around. It's like literally, you look at the art piece of Chanarach. It is exactly that. Someone has the red hair, the like breastplate, the whole getup. And she's just wandering around, kind of looking around. And then onward you go. Then they have the dialogue all written out of exactly what Hoid says. "You should go back to Braze. You've had your time to make up and reconcile. You need to leave." So, as the canonical event, our understanding is this was the canonical reveal that Chanarach is indeed related to Shallan.
Wow. That's really cool.
I think this is the real confirmation. That was the intent, was to be the real secretive confirmation that Chanarach, the theories are true. Because it was fully scripted and deliberate. Like I said, I'm very sad to not have the video to show you. Mm-hmm. It was taken down. So
it's just one of those things when you watch them be deliberate in every single else as set up for this, down to the actors, that you don't just miss that. So I would agree that it does look like it's confirmation, but it was cool.
Yeah.
It's either confirmation or it's Brandon trying to feed that rumor, that theory. Like that's a big step in like yes, you should assume this. I mean, that's been a really strong theory for a long time, right? So I'm not here to tell you that, like, no, that's not true, and we're gonna disprove that later. But that's really interesting and a really fun way to feed into that with a reveal at the World Hopper Ball at Shallan's wedding. That's super fun.
It was. That was something, like I said, I did not realize until after the fact. Only other thing, I threw a couple pictures in the Discord. Y'all are welcome to look at. Specifically the bottom two. The top ones are just pictures of the food menu, which I forgot to include earlier. You're welcome to look at that. They had Rock's Curry Cauldron was one of the places you could go to, and they had Goncho Chowta Bar was the other place you could go to. The other pictures I just wanted to show y'all were the handwritten writings that Brandon wrote of this scene. You know, they actually had him think. They actually, I think one of the pieces they were obviously not for sale, but they did have an auction of one. I didn't catch what it was, but I think they were auctioning off part of his original things. I have no idea what that went for, but Yeah, it was really neat. Overall, the event was very engaging. It was neat to be a part of such a unique storytelling element. It, like I said, it was written by Sanderson. He was involved in that. It was just a very unique premise, and so it was a very special thing to be a part of. So I'm sure I know many people are excited about the Chanarach theory. I'm fully in the boat now. I was not a Chanarach believer prior, but I understand that this is canonical and that this was before they started dancing to Mr. Brightside, by the way. So,
oh,
more canon.
Important to get the order right there.
Yeah, this is more canon than that part. But yeah, it was a unique experience and something really, really neat. So
cool. All right. Well, we can close it here unless you guys have anything else on Dragon's Steel.
Just to say that it was a ton of fun. We got to listen to a lot of really cool panels and meet a lot of really awesome people, and just hearing your guys' stories about the World Hopper Ball is just so cool. It was a really, Alex, you said this a couple of times, a really well-crafted event, a really well-executed whole week, and yeah, I had a blast.
Yeah, I couldn't echo it more. It was just a wonderful event. We had an absolute blast. It was packed every hour of the day, but it was super fun.
One more shout out that I think we missed. Our patron Jared did an awesome time of showing us around downtown Salt Lake City there, showed us a good breakfast spot, and we hung out with Jared. So shout out to Jared from our patrons. Thank you, Jared.
Yeah, much appreciated, Jared. It was great to meet Jared and all of our peeps who hang out in our Discord and so on.
Yeah, I appreciate each of them. And yes, special thank you to Jared for hanging out with us on, I believe it was Friday morning most of the day. So, all right, we can close it there. Thanks for joining me, Elliot, Paul, and Alex.
See you next time.
Toodles.